Just like an annual checkup is important for maintaining good health, performing regular financial checkups is an essential part of planning for a healthy and successful retirement. On this episode of Mondays with Matt, let's talk about your financial wellness checkup.
Welcome to Mondays with Matt, with Matt Starkey. Start each week fresh with sound financial advice. Grab your coffee and maybe a pen. It's time to kick off your week with Matt.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the podcast. Time to talk with Matt Starkey once again about investing, finance, and retirement. And we're going to go through a financial wellness checkup to make sure we're all looking good. I mean, everybody's different. Just like going to your doctor is going to be different for different people. We want to pay attention to a few areas that could be important. We'll kind of use that medical analogy along with our conversation today with Matt. So if you've got questions, need some help, reach out to him at GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. That's GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. Matt is not a doctor, but he will play a financial doctor here today on the podcast. What's going on, my friend? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you today?
Hanging in there. And just you good. And I are just chit-chatting. You're just finishing your lunch. We were just talking about, we're taping it today. Today is eclipse day. Ooh,
yeah. It is the Monday Eclipse Day, April 8th. Actually, we're recording for
next week's show.
Yep. Next week or whatever. Yep. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So that's exciting. And I think the NCAA bracket
game is
tonight at 9:20. So, yeah.
Well, if the world's still here, because, you know, the eclipse might just, you know, in the world, everybody.
It might be over.
People, it's so funny.
This podcast is being recorded with no real intent.
I saw something like 3.5 million people were flocking to some of the Midwestern states to see stuff. And it's like, what? Like Indiana and Ohio and stuff. It's like, okay.
Well, it is a once in, 40 or 50 year
event? I mean, I suppose, but do yourself an interesting favor. Go Google how often eclipses happen, and you'll be interested to see how many times it does happen. Yes, I know there's various types of them and stuff, but they happen pretty – I don't know. It doesn't move the needle for me, so I'm not all that worried about it. So
Yeah. There's a lot of potential hype, and I know there a lot of it's tied to – potential end of the world stuff. You're wondering, it's happening over the U.S. So you wonder if we've all had these suspicions that China and Russia are going to launch some dirty bomb attack or something. And, you know, it just might be who knows what's going to happen.
I know it's like it has Y2K feeling written all over it.
Yes, right. It does.
You know, so.
Yeah. You know, and for Christians who are believers that, you know, they also, there's signs in the skies, you know, that's the Bible talks about all that stuff. So that there's a lot of people watching for something to happen, and it might be just an eclipse that happens and probably
will be. Yeah.
And somebody will burn their eyes out because they don't have the little safety glasses.
Hopefully they're not that dumb, but yeah. But anyway, that's, it kind of works well with our financial, you know, wellness, you know, so, you know, if you want to make sure you're, you know, don't burn your eyes out and you got to go get a checkup after the eclipse, and well, maybe you need to get a financial checkup as well, because maybe you spent too much money trying to drive to go hang out and see the eclipse. I don't know. But
yeah, I guess the one benefit of driving and actually being in the direct path was that it's completely dark here
for a little ring of light.
Yeah. But it'll be this little one moment in time, and you can tell all your grandkids about it, right?
I suppose. I saw a funny little meme says, today the sun gets mooned, and it has a little picture of a moon kind of pulling its pants down and mooning, you know, so the moon is mooning the sun.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. But anyway, so we don't take this too long. Let's get into this conversation here.
Sounds good. Yeah, let's hit our financial wellness checkup here today.
Yeah. Well, first place to start, review your goals, discuss the importance of defining those retirement goals, tracking progress, making adjustments. So we got a little list here we'll go through on how to do that. So let's start with the doc analogy. We'll go with checking the old vital signs. So if we're talking about your financial vital signs, I imagine we're going to be looking at the income and the outgoing, budget and spending, if you will.
Absolutely. Financial checkups start with cash flow, and your budget is what money's coming in and what's going out. And we want to make sure every month that you have a surplus, or at least you have every dollar accounted for and invested. Now, that sounds, if you're like me, it sounds super tedious to track every dollar in my spending. But we don't want to make it difficult. I always call it cash flow because I hate the word budget. It just sounds restrictive to me. And I'm more of a free flow freedom lover, so I don't like to be restricted to the point that I don't have to. But you got to track these monthly expenses in your budget you have fixed expenses that are going to be there month in and month out. So if you have rent or you have a mortgage payment, or if you own your own home, you might, you know, you've still got property taxes. These are fixed expenses that are occurring month in, month out.
Yeah.
And then we have flexible expenses, which are like dining out and clothing and maybe some additional things like the luxury vehicle that we have this excess money and we want to spend. So you've got money that has to be spent and accounted for you to survive and live, you know, heat in the winter and maybe some cool AC in the summer. But also you got those flexible expenses. And that's really where we kind of, we've got to move or manipulate those expenses in the event that we have to meet or fall within our means. So if you're not in the habit of saving and investing and living within the means, the first thing to go is some of those flexible expenses. But budgeting and spending needs to be accounted for. And don't forget, in your budget or your cash flow projection, you got to have an investment account. So whether that's in your 401k or you might be contributing monthly to an IRA outside of that, make sure that you have a good percentage. I like to see people save and invest at least 10% of their wages every month. And if you kind of get in the habit of that early on, the earlier the better. But I say if you start early and you can save and invest 10%, you'll probably never have a financial concern in the future that's too far out of your reach. But okay. 15 is even better. So
all right, there you go. So that's the first step we want to do. Second step, we want to check on our immunity levels, right? So building some financial immunity. And I think here, Matt, we're probably talking about having some of that accessible cash, that emergency fund, things of that nature.
Absolutely. Yep. This is a big ploy for those of you that might be new to investing and you say, how much do I need to have? Well, I always encourage people to have an emergency fund first. Before you start investing, an emergency fund needs to come into play. That's just something that you're saving inside of your savings account. If you can do $1,000, great, because, you know, if you run into my car needs new tires, or oops, I missed a payment on something, or I need to help out a friend or family member this month, an emergency fund is there for just that. Now, normally in financial planning, we're recommending 3 months. Some advisors will say 6 months. I think 6 months can, depending on the situation, 6 months can be a little bit much, but at least having 1 to 3 months of your expenses, that's your budget basically, that every month. If you have a month to 3 months of that setting aside in cash, earning very probably zero to, if you can get a high yield savings or something, that's great. But this is money just for emergencies. And so this is going to be tapped when the unexpected happens.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And right. I mean, and make sure that it's truly an emergency too, right? Don't tap into your, you know, emergency fund just because, you know, you need to go buy a bunch of glasses for the solar eclipse or whatever.
That's right. Or your buddies are coming over on Friday night
and you're low on beer. Yeah.
You're low on beer and pizza.
What do you think about automation? If you're low, a lot of people have definitely learned the hard way over the last couple of years. COVID certainly did that for many people that, you know, didn't have enough in an emergency fund really to do what they needed to, especially when people were getting laid off a lot. Automating some savings to kind of build up. Is that a good way to kind of get that up there, Matt? Kind of a simple, you know, easy tool that you could do to go, okay, look, I'm a little low on the emergency fund. Let's make sure let's just automate, you know, $50 a month or something, you know, to get over there in case we don't always do the best job remembering to do it ourselves.
That's right. We frequently I'll have a conversation with clients where we will recommend that, you know, you might be hanging on to $1,000 or $2,000 on a 0% that I did to do a little home improvement project and I left cash in savings. Well, oftentimes I'll say, well, let's make sure and pay that off early before, you know, you forget and get dinged with all the interest backed up. And in addition, instead of making your monthly payment on the 0% credit line, just take it out of your savings, pay that off, and then pay yourself back that monthly payment into your savings account. So yeah, I frequently talk to clients about automating to build up that emergency fund, automating to build up that savings so that you get to the point, you know, you can't just pull cash out of nowhere. We understand that. But if you take a little out of each check, if you take a little bit every month, it all adds up and you'll hit that goal. So first thing we talked about, have a goal. Secondly, you know, you want to have that emergency fund and then, have that savings and investment strategy up to 10 or even higher percent of your income. I would focus on saving or investing that every single month.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to our next one here, Matt. Screening your profile. Your portfolio. So, you know, you go in, you get a health screening, right? So let's do a screening of our investment strategy.
Yes. I like to do this. Screening your portfolio. So what are we talking about when we do this? Well, there's a couple of things that you have to look out for when it comes to your investments, right? We want to make sure that we're properly diversified. We want to make sure the key factor is making sure that our risk tolerance lines up with the investments that we're currently holding. So oftentimes, as we are younger, we tend to be a little bit more aggressive with our strategy because we can sustain it if the market's down and we don't need money. As we get older, just as a natural thing, Mark, people tend to get a little bit more conservative.
Sure, in all aspects like of life,
They don't feel like they need to kill it anymore. Hey, I've got a good nest egg here. I'm more concerned about preserving and protecting what we've got than I am about growth.
Right.
So what happens is as we age, we naturally kind of get a little bit more conservative. But if we don't adjust our portfolio to make sure that that's aligning with our goals, we might start feeling a little motion sickness when the market takes a dive. So oftentimes when that stuff is happening, we want to make sure that we screen our portfolio regularly. And often what I'll say is if you review your risk tolerance with us, at least once a year is a good rule of thumb. Some people are comfortable. They don't need to do it every year. But every couple of years, you should definitely take another glance at your risk tolerance. Talk to your advisor. Hopefully that's us. And make sure that you're reviewing the investment strategy to make sure that it is also meeting up with the goals you've set for your portfolio.
Yeah, and there's the goals, right? So thinking about risk in the normal context of things. You know, at 52, Matt, I don't jump on a skateboard anymore because I know that, A, I was never good at skateboarding to begin with, and B, if I flopped off that thing right now, it's going to hurt a little worse than it would have hurt at 22, you know, versus 52. Right.
Mark, you and I are a lot more alike than I thought.
Yeah. Well, you still go out and play hockey. You still play rec hockey, right?
So I do, I'm fully padded for that. Yeah, skateboarding and snowboarding are two things that I just don't. It's not worth the risk to me. I don't want any broken wrists or elbows or anything like that.
But I imagine that you pull up your hip checks a little differently than you used to as well, right? Because you're trying
to skate a little wider stance.
Skate a little, exactly. You just try, you're managing that risk. And the same thing with our investments, right? Got to manage the risk as we get older. And it's hard sometimes when we feel like we're behind. I get it, right? Or we feel like we've got to get a lot of debt taken care of. And that kind of walks me into my next one. Debt diagnosis, we want to make sure that we are actively managing and dealing with the debt, but don't take unnecessary risk just because you think I've got to be debt-free at retirement. Just make sure it's a good strategy. Hopefully that's the case, but it's not the end of the world if it's not.
Yeah. Debt is one of those things that as soon as you can get your debt paid off, I always call it to clients, the number one building block of financial success has become debt-free.
Right.
Why? Because then you don't, every dollar that you earn can go to good use. You don't owe it to somebody. And, one of our radio friends has said the borrower is servant to the lender. And that's basically it. If you have debt behind your name or your social security number, that means that every month when that paycheck comes, you don't really have complete freedom. You've got a bill to pay. And when you owe somebody, it's just I call it a bad feeling because to me, that's a negative. I don't like to owe people stuff. So get out of debt as quick as you can.
If you can, Matt, but I don't want to give the impression that it's the end of the world either, right? I mean, if you've got a good strategy, you can still retire and have some debt. Like I think people panic, and that's why they take too many chances sometimes with their risk.
Yeah, we got to do the debt diagnosis as you mentioned, and we do have to not panic and take this all in stride. So I've used this example before, but I've got some clients that for them, it was a little better financial situation to actually retain some debt during, on a mortgage during retirement, rather than take a huge chunk out for their retirement home and pay the taxes at quite a substantial tax rate in the above 24%. They would have had to pay a huge chunk in taxes to have a debt-free home. In the meantime, they're taking required distributions. And so we looked at this and we said, well, the interest rate on that mortgage was under 3%. Their investments were growing along, making double-digit returns in the 15 to 20. So they decided, it's okay to have a mortgage. We're making the money up we're taking our required distributions, and it covers our mortgage payments, and we're fine with that. And so for them, that worked out. And as you said, Mark, debt isn't always the biggest killer, but often it can be something that causes you a little bit of stress mm-hmm. in the back of your mind, yep. knowing that you owe somebody. So we do like to see people progressively pay off the debt, and the sooner we can do, I guess, if you have debt, give us a call. We want to look at how much you owe to whom and what's the interest rate. It all makes sense when you look at it, and we'll come up with a strategy to help you get rid of it.
Yeah, for sure. And again, reach out to Matt if you got some questions, folks. 989-401-2949. We always have the contact information in the show notes as well, so you can check that out there. Let's go to preventative measures. So if we're talking about preventing some future health issues, well, let's be preventative with our finances as well and do some proactive planning.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like one of those things, we're talking about financial health, but healthcare is one of those expenses that in your long-term financial plan, that's going to comprise one of your biggest expenses in retirement is healthcare expenses. So we want to factor things in, be proactive when we're planning. Some people have, if you've done any of those genetic tests, you can say, we might have a possibility of running into this or that down the road. And one of the big things we talk about with a lot of people is long-term care insurance. Over the age of 65, we find that the numbers or the probability of needing some type of care, whether in-home or in a assisted living or in a nursing home, goes up dramatically, that probability. So how do we pay for that? If you want, we can look at long-term care insurance or possibly self-funding using your own investments to pay those costs. But Another big factor and, you know, kind of that preventative measures is tax planning. And we want to do a good job at tax planning when we're saving and investing, because we know down the road when you take the money out, if you're taking money out of IRAs, you have to pay taxes on that. That affects your Social Security. So pension income, that also affects how much tax we're going to pay on our Social Security benefits. So be proactive, talk to your advisor, develop a plan for your situation and work the plan. And that's really the easiest way to be successful.
Exactly. Matt, what about any insurance in this overall kind of, you know, wellness check? You know, obviously we think about health and we're thinking about insurance. We need insurance to go to the doc and stuff. But, you know, the role of insurance in a financial strategy is hit or miss with different people. Some people feel like they need it. Some people feel like they don't, but it could be a really useful tool.
Always, always, always have an independent third set of eyes. Look at your insurance coverage, meaning don't talk to your insurance agent and ask them, do I need insurance? What are they going to tell you?
Duh, right.
Yeah. That's because I get paid to sell insurance. So that's where a fiduciary like ourselves is an independent advisor. Oftentimes, if we're recommending you take a good look at some of these things. So life insurance is a big one. Do you have enough protection in place in the event that you pass away? And let's talk about that person at this moment who is in the retirement phase or coming into retirement. Oftentimes people kind of think, hey, we're going to be okay. But often they forget about if you're a married couple and you have two Social Security incomes coming in the home, when one of you passes away before the other, you'll lose a paycheck. Do you have enough in investments to cover that? Or do you maybe need life insurance in a situation like that? Early on in your life, life insurance can protect you by paying off debt or replacing that income earner's living for 10 or 15 or 20 years. So there's lots of good reasons to look at insurance coverage. One that just came up the other day, I'll share this because it's very important, is when you start to get assets in your name and they're outside of your retirement accounts, beware. I normally will have everybody consider an umbrella liability policy, especially if you have a cabin. And could an accident happen at your cabin? Mm-hmm. They've happened at a lot of people's cabins. Even if it's not your fault, a lawsuit comes along and all of a sudden all these assets that we have in our name, suddenly, you know, and you're sitting down with Lee Free or call Sam Bernstein here in Michigan. These are well-named attorneys that are looking, you know, the ambulance chaser kind of attorney.
Right.
They're going to, you know, when you're sitting at a deposition and they tell you to list all your assets and you got all these unprotected assets, watch out. So oftentimes I'll recommend that an umbrella liability policy might do clients well in protecting the nest egg that they spent all these years accumulating. Also, that leads into a referral to an attorney to say, hey, maybe we put these assets in a trust where our name isn't on these assets anymore. We benefit from them, but They're not in our name. So yeah, you got to watch your insurance coverages. Again, give us a call. We'll review your personal situation with you, and we'll make recommendations that make sense.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week on the podcast. So, I mean, just finish off basically with saying, look, have a follow-up plan, right? Just like you would do with your doctor. You go in and see him. They're going to probably give you some things to do, and you're going to follow back up with them. Well, make sure you're following up with your advisor. And if you don't have one, get on with one, right? Get a conversation going so you can talk about those specific goals and create the timelines for getting you where you want to be in retirement. And hopefully that helps you out. That's what, you know, the kind of stuff that Matt does, obviously, day in and day out, and some of the things we share here on the podcast. So if you got questions, need help, reach out to them. GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. That's GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. Don't forget to subscribe to Mondays with Matt on whatever podcasting app you like using. You can find all that information there. Matt, thanks for hanging out and being the financial doc today.
Thanks, Mark. And thank you all for listening. We appreciate it when you like and share our information with your friends and family. So go ahead and do that. You can always pass along our email with this podcast in it, and they can click on the link and that'll take them right to our site. So thanks for sharing and thanks for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have all that information in the show note details for you, and we'll see you next time here on Mondays with Matt.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.